Welcome to The Light of the World, and this is Jerry G. Martin. February is sometimes referred to as the month of love. Valentine's is mid-month. Couples who desire to be married will often select February as their marriage month. As we look at the demise of our culture, one of the contributing factors is the demise of our families. This month, I'm going to be sharing messages about marriage and family. We're going to begin with a message to our single listeners about how God can help you find a mate and help you to be significant even as you are single. If you know someone who's single, invite them to listen to these messages over the next few days. It would be a blessing to them. Then we're going to share some messages to our married couples to encourage you and to enrich your families. Come and go with us as we walk in the light of God's Word. In America, there are more than 92 million unmarried adults. That's more than 40% of the adult population. One statistic says that there are 86 unmarried men for every 100 unmarried women. When we address family issues in the church, we have a tendency to focus on those who are married and the challenges associated with marriages and the problems associated with divorce, that too often we give little attention to those who are unmarried in the church. But I would venture to say that there are several unmarried adults in the congregation today. In fact, if you are unmarried, and would you just raise your hand so we can see if you're unmarried adult, just lift them up high. A significant number of people in here today are unmarried. And it's difficult to address the unmarried with a single broad brush because there are different categories of singleness. There's a young adult just over 18 who's never been married. Then there are the divorced people who are currently unmarried. There are those who may find themselves as a widow because their spouse passed away, or a widower if you're a man. There are those who are single and they are single parents with young children at home. There are those who are more mature and they find themselves single. They may be middle-aged and never married. There are some people who are older and mature and was never married. That person who's 18 years old or so or 20 or 21 or 22 is still looking forward with hopefulness and dreams about their relationships perhaps. For most of the other singles that have been single or unmarried for a while, they face life with some sense of hopelessness sometimes and helplessness if they desire to have a mate. Now, I'm not suggesting that everybody who's single want to be married. But most single people, whether they voice their opinion or not about it, find themselves in a state of loneliness sometimes and do have a desire from time to time to be married. Well, if not, we can go on to something else. You have not because you ask not. But there are those who enjoy their singleness and they're not looking to change their marital status. So I'm here to encourage those who are single that you can either have an anxiety-filled life or an anointed-filled life while you are single. A great deal of material and programs for singles are directed to helping you to cope with your single life. And I can speak from a little experience. I was single until I was 35. So a portion of my young adult life I spent single, so I'm not talking from the perspective of no experience in that matter. But we spend a lot of time trying to help the singles cope and It could be a lot of pressure from your peers and your family members when you're single. You know, when you're 22 or 23, people just say, well, praise God, you have your life ahead of you. When you get 32 or 33, they start looking at you and wondering what's wrong with you. You know, Clarice done found her somebody. You know you can find you somebody. That's what they'll say to you. But I'm here to say you just don't want to find you somebody. When we look at the makeup of our congregation, we see that a significant portion of our people could be categorized as single. They may be divorced or widowed or never have been married. Some of that group will say that they are not ready for marriage, and it's good to know when you're not ready. Others will say that they are ready, but they have not found the right person, or perhaps the right person may not have found them. If you're a woman, you still need to be found. That's another message on how to let your good thing find you. You know, the man that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. But you got to do some things to let the good thing find you. So I talk about that in finding a mate. How you need to look when you go pump your own gas. You might find them at the gas station. Those rollers and that plastic bag on your head is not going to help. So that's another message called finding a mate. Most women, they don't even know that they haven't forgotten. They never know how to drop their handkerchief. See, some of them don't even know what that means. But you need to learn how to drop your handkerchief. So maybe I should call all the single women together for a meeting and just give you some pointers on what you need to do. Because some of y'all are not doing what you need to do, else you'd have somebody. Somebody just said, There are still others who said they could take it or leave it. Well, if you leave it, somebody else is going to take it. But Paul the Apostle, in his teaching on marriage and 1 Corinthians chapter 7, did not ignore the plight and the concerns of the single members of the church. We talked last time about what Jesus and God said about marriage, but I want to talk about what Paul says about those who were single. He realized that they had some unique issues, and he addressed them in the book of 1 Corinthians. And those concerns still exist today, and we will take a look at them as well. Here's one thing I want you to know if you're single. God knows that you are single. It's no surprise to him, and he knows all of the issues that goes along with your singleness. But I want you to know there is a blessedness in singleness if you can find it. The question is, how will you and how are you responding to your state of singleness? Now look at what Paul says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning at verse 8 in the NIV. Now to the unmarried and to the widows. Now he says to the unmarried and to the widows. Here when he talks about the unmarried in this verse, he's talking about those who have been divorced. And he's talking about the widows, those who find themselves single because their mate has passed away. He says, it is good for them to stay unmarried. He said, there's not a problem. There should be no stigma with being unmarried. He says, as I am. So Paul is saying this. He says, I'm not married. And then he says, but if they cannot control themselves, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. The King James says, it's better to marry than to burn with lust. In this passage, Paul is addressing a question that was raised in the church. Should those who were married and divorced before becoming Christians remarry? Should they remarry? And he's saying, you know, if you're unmarried, that's not a bad place to be in, unless you say that you can't control yourself. And you needs you somebody. You just got to have somebody. And he says this, that if you are unmarried, and he's not speaking to the category of what he calls, and later on, and we'll talk about that, what he called virgins, those who had never been married. He said the unmarried, those who've been divorced, and he's making this statement because those who have been married has already been involved in intimacy. Now they're divorced, and he's saying, if you just got to have that intimacy, find you somebody. He almost say find anybody if it'll help. But I'm telling you that, and now Paul not saying this, and Paul even says in some of his scripture, this is what I say, not the Lord. Well, I'm going to add something. This is what I say, not Paul or the Lord, that you don't want to just get anybody just to have sex. That's not a good reason just to marry. Now, Paul said it's better to marry than to burn, and I agree with that, but he didn't give us any other commentary around that. You don't want to just grab somebody just for that, because it don't stay cold all the time. It was cold this week, and you might have thought, woo, but it ain't this cold in August, if you know what I mean. The first point that Paul wants to say then to them when he says, don't rush into marriage. If you're unmarried, that's a good place to be for some seasons in your life. There's no need to rush. And that message is different than what the singles usually get. It's always, it seems, a lot of pressure to try to match people up and to get people together and try to get them married. Many well-meaning believers are not content to let other people remain single. We seem to have a strong urge to play Cupid. Or matchmaker, or to help somebody find them somebody. But Paul is saying this, marriage is not superior to singleness. Although God ordained marriage and he put man and woman together, Paul says, just because somebody is married, they're not more superior than the ones who's unmarried. Actually, Paul says, in a sense, marriage can be disadvantageous in the sense that it limits some potential for the service of God. But Paul was not naive about the human factor. He says, but if they cannot control themselves, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Now, you know what my cousin said about this commentary. She said, I know what the Bible says. It's better to marry than to burn, but I smell smoke. So here's what he's saying. If you are strongly tempted sexually, get married. God knows it. Ask God to hurry up and send somebody that's compatible with you. He says it's better to marry than to be constantly inflamed. Constantly. If that's the first thing that's on your mind and that's just driving you and you can't think of nothing else, you better get you somebody. Because he's saying it won't be long. You're gonna hook up. So you might as well hook up with a husband. A burning person is not a happy person. That's what he's saying. If you can't control yourself, you're going to find it difficult to serve the Lord faithfully. You're not going to be able to lift your hands in worship without, when you see somebody, you're going to, oh, hallelujah. He says it's very difficult. In the society we live in, it's difficult not to give in to those desires. Paul says, I understand that. I'm not married, but I understand that. And if that's your motivation, that's your drive, that's your passion, it's foremost on your mind, find you somebody and get married. If your desires distract from your service to the Lord and your obedience to the Lord, it's better to get married than to miss God's purpose, is what he's saying. But there are several things a Christian ought to do. If you have a desire to get married, there are some things that you ought to do. Don't just seek to get married for marriage's sake. But seek a person that you can love, a person you can trust and respect. And if you're a woman, be sure you marry someone you can submit to. Because the Bible says you are to submit to your own husband. So the time that to make that assessment is before you get married, not after you get married. If you can't submit to him, and that's not the kind of man you can submit to, then don't marry him. Now, submit is not subservient. We're not talking about being a slave. Submit just means to, in the orderly arrangements of coming underneath the authority of. That's all that means. to come underneath the authority. It's not a dirty word. We all submit. We all submit to authorities. If you have a boss on the job, you submit to that boss. It doesn't mean that they're more superior to you as a person. It just means that in that arrangement, you have to submit. We submit every day, all day long. You submit to the stop sign. A sign. Not even any person. Don't say anything. It's just some words. And you just look at it and you stop. You submit it to it. We all submit. So he says, to the woman, I have placed a man in authority. That's his role, and you are to submit. And so if you are in a relationship with somebody and you don't think that they're the person you could submit to, then don't marry them. And men, if you don't think that she's somebody you can love wholeheartedly, then don't marry her. Because he tells you to love her and to honor her. But the best way to find the right person is to be the right person. You want to be the right person. And instead of going around hoping that somebody can find you just like you are, this is a good time when you're single to develop yourself, to strengthen yourself, to grow and to become a viable person on your own. You know, if you're just marrying somebody because you're needy, you might not be the right person, but if you can stand on your own, it's a time to stand on your own when you're single. But here's the key. If you are right with God and his will for your life, if you're honoring God, serving God, he will send the right person your way, especially if you're a woman. He'll send the right person. That's his job, his job. If he says that the man should find the woman, it is God's responsibility to send the right person to you. If you're honoring him, and when he sends them, it won't be too late. You might think, Lord, how long? God knows where you are, and he can get the person to you. If he hadn't come yet, there might be some adjustments you need to make on your end. If you have a desire. Now, some people have a desire, but they never have asked God. They never have said, Lord, this is my desire. I desire a mate, and this is the kind of mate I desire, and I'd like for you to send them to me. They ask everybody else, you got any friends? Well, ask God. Amen. Some people never have gone to the Lord and say, Lord, this is my desire. What should you do until that right person comes along? Our energies and efforts should be directed in ways that will be most helpful in keeping our mind off of the temptations and things that might come because we are single and perhaps vulnerable. You can apply yourself. This is for saved folks now. This is for spiritual people. The unspiritual people is not going to go with this. You want to apply yourself to spiritual service, to spiritual activity, working for the Lord, serving him in the kingdom. Avoid listening to and looking at or being around things that strengthens and enhances the temptations that might be coming your way. You got to get rid of those things. Don't put yourself in compromising situations. And until God gives us the right person, he'll also give us the strength to resist those temptations. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it. He'll make a way for you. Paul specifically spoke to those who had experienced marriage but was now single and could have problems because of it. And then in verse 25, he turns his attention to those who had never been married. Let's look at what he says in verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 7. Now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, I think that it is good for you to remain as you are. Are you married? Do not seek a divorce. Are you unmarried? Do not look for a wife. Now, listen, he's talking about virgins, and he said, do not look for a wife, which means that men ought to be virgins too. All I heard was, amen. Hey, I ain't hear no amen. Men ought to be virgins too. We got our work cut out for us, I believe. They want the women to be virgins, but the men don't want to be no virgin. So that's what he's talking, that's what he says. Now about virgins, if you are unmarried, don't look for a wife. So he's talking about men. Now what woman wouldn't want a man virgin? Never mind. Look at the women don't even want no. Verse 28. If you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin married, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. That is an interesting comment that he makes there about married life. So in verse 25 to 35, Paul speaks of several reasons for remaining single. Number one, he says, in the pressures of society, he said, the present crisis. Now, that was a present crisis of persecution for the church. And he was saying, in this present crisis, if you remain single, you'll probably do better. The problem we have to face today, there's always a present crisis in the culture and in the society. And he says, when these crises come, it is better for you to remain single because the problems that you have is going to be multiplied for the one who's married. When you marry somebody, your mate's problem become your problem. The issues that they bring in, and everybody bring in some issues. Everybody. Everybody has some issues. They may not be readily apparent when you first meet them and when you first start going out. You may not discover those issues till after you say, I do. In fact, most likely you won't discover those issues. Now, that's why folks want a shack today. They say, we're going to shack so we can find out what's going on with them. But shacking is not going to uncover everything. And you need to get my tape on the top 10 reasons for not shacking. Believers should not be shacking. So I don't want to go into that this morning, but I'll just mention this. When a man has a dog that he cares a lot about, the first thing he do is be sure it has papers. Let him buy a $500 dog and see if the first thing he wants is the papers. Now, if he don't want no papers on you, I'll leave a comment for you to fill out the blank. Wise up. Paul said there's a problem in marriage, and that because the problems are of the flesh. Paul gives practical advice here, not spiritual or moral command. He says when two people get together, there's going to be some conflict. And there are going to be some problems. When they're bound together in marriage, their human nature is multiplied and magnified. And he says, marriage people have issues that single people don't. They have some troubles that's unique to marriage that single people don't have to deal with.
Thank you for joining us today. We're sharing messages about marriage and family. There are many of you in the body of Christ who are single, and you are desirous of a mate. We're sharing with you some words of the Lord about how you can expect God to move for you if you want a husband, and the basic biblical principles that you should employ when you are looking for a mate. God also wants you to know that your life is significant even as you are single. There are many things you can do in the body of Christ. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. God will use your life right now where you are and get glory out of your participating with Him in the kingdom of God. If you want to hear today's message again, I want to invite you to go to our website at lowcf.org, or you can subscribe to my podcast, The Light of the World Daily with Jerry Martin. You'll be able to hear these messages in their entirety. You also have my invitation to be our guest at the Light of the World. Each Sunday morning, we're meeting in person at 16161 Old Humble Road. Again, that's 16161 Old Humble Road. That's just north of the Beltway near 59 North. If you have a prayer request, we will be delighted to join you and put our faith with yours. Call us at 281-964-1393. Again, that's 281-964-1393. Let me remind you of the Beacon Bookstore. right here on our campus. You can get Sunday school materials, books, Bibles, communion supplies, offering envelopes. Call the Beacon, 281-441-2885. For the Light of the World, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God bless you richly, and we'll be with you again next time.